Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's Gustavus podcast with a K. Well, welcome to this week's Gustavus podcast with a K, dear listener. It's another one we were planning to bring to you. Basically, we were going to bring you a lost podcast, but up until about an hour ago, I'd lost it. One of life's little ironies there. So instead, you know, it's not as if there isn't anything to talk about, despite the fact Doctor Who isn't on air. We've obviously got the whole thing of Matt Smith leaving and the various people who have been saying things about it. But we would stay away from that and more talk about this missing episodes rumour that has set Doctor Who fandom alight in a between the series way that we haven't seen since... last time we were between series.
Yeah.
James, I mean, it's a big, complicated thing. There's supposedly 90 episodes that have been recovered as part of a big haul of episode of classic television. That also includes Dad's Army. That's a joke for our listener next week, and and many other shows. And no one with any. Who would have any knowledge into whether this is true or not is actually saying anything, or they're certainly not saying anything definitive. The situation has been that, we've known about this, the potential for this since, I think it was November, it was certainly before Christmas, and there was a case of, ooh, let's not talk about this. Because, you know, these things have come up before and they've been proven to be
rogue.
Rogue. Well, yeah, indeed, yes. Mm. Rogue Cyberman, who, as far as we're aware, has nothing to do with this. So, Blinnicle went forth with this and shared it online. And you know, I personally thought it would be one of the Doctor Who sites that went with it first.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on it?
I'm going to be careful here because I've been told by one of our listeners that I have to stop swearing.
Right.
Yeah.
And, is it a listener that we all know, or
listener doesn't mind swearing, but listener has kids and sometimes listens to it in the afternoon or the evening, and you know, I'm a little annoyed about this because, you know, I don't want the cat to have my tongue on this. I want to be able to swear, so I thought I would actually try and incorporate science fiction swear words in rather than anything. So if the kids go to school and start swearing using science fiction, the worst is going to happen is they're going to get horrendously beaten up. So that's good. On this topic, this grokking topic, as I will call it, on this grokking topic, build high for happiness. I don't know. It's hard because there's one part of me which kind of thinks, there's part of me that kind of hopes that all the people, because we've had people like Ian Levine, who's done a lot, quite well off, smart, avid Doctor Who fan who's been responsible for maintaining episodes that didn't get lost, like the Daleks, and he's obviously very big in fandom. And I don't quite understand his tweets, to be honest. At first, he sounds like he's absolutely categoric that it isn't. And does he start to change that a little as it goes along? You can read the tweets, by the way, on Casterbris. You've got them on the missing episodes reaction.
They'll be in the page. Show notes for this.
Yes, so you can read up.
He doesn't be protesting a lot, doesn't he?
Yes,
he has said this before as well. He has said that there are, you know, I think it's 106 missing episodes at present. So like a couple of years ago, he said there are 108 missing episodes, and this will not change. Well, it did, didn't it?
Yeah. So. Well, that's it, and you know, part of. I don't want to make any aspersions or comments on Ian, especially since he has been such a fantastic force for, shall we call it, good.
And Northern Soul.
What?
Sorry, carry on.
Anyway, yes, he's a great force for good. But part of me wondered whether there was, you know, the sort of horrid thought that was bristling him that there could be something like this and no one's told him. Which, you know, the BBC being is the sort of days you could imagine happening.
Oh, yeah.
Or the other part hopes that maybe everyone's in a big conspiracy to keep it quiet to reveal on the 50th. Or there is that wonder, of course, whether it is just a loaded rumour. And those who would know, like himself or the Doctor Who restoration team, not saying they should definitely know, but you'd expect them to have some idea if this was going on, seem to be either oblivious or coy. Restoration team seem to be quite categoric that they hadn't heard anything. But
I mean, they could quite easily have said that we haven't heard anything. The restoration team hasn't heard anything, mm-hmm. whereas the individual members may have done. We don't.
Well, quite frankly, I would, if I was part of a conspiracy, I would lie. In fact, to be honest, I mean,
that's part of being in a conspiracy, isn't it? I think it that's is. One of the prerequisites of being a conspirator is that you have to tell lies.
Or just simply untruths, not tell the truth. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, we get to hear stuff which we don't tell people. So, I mean, I wouldn't hold it against them. If I was brought into such a conspiracy, I'd happily lie to you, dear listener, to contain a secret to be released later on, which would actually prove to be something that you'd want to be surprised about.
Are you lying right now?
Grud damn am. That's Judge what? Dredd. Truck off.
Now, the there is more to this rumour, and this is, you know, we all want it to be true and wonderful and lovely and fluffy and result with only and have the end result of there only being 16 missing episodes of Doctor
Who. Do we though? This is perhaps something worth pointing out.
All right, go on then.
We are essentially some form of internet digital lazy journalists. To a certain degree, we've got to contest what is popular opinion. And there is an argument, I would say, that it'd be kind of good if we don't have any missing episodes. And my reasons for this are Tomb of the Cybermen, for instance. I remember reading in a very early Doctor Who monthly back in like 1988 or 87, and a nostalgia page, I don't know if they still do it, but they used to do nostalgia where they would get lots of readers to make Vox Pops comments about a missing episode or an episode from the past. Reading Tomb of the Cybermen, it sounded really claustrophobic, freaky, and kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
And then when I saw it, when it was recovered, I was a little disappointed because while it was quite enjoyable and there was nothing wrong with it at all, I even particularly liked Toberman's throw of the dummy Cybermen across the room. It was joyous, but it didn't live up to that expectation. And in the same, on another standard, you lose a lot of creativity from it. Because at the moment, you've got the Dalek Master Plan comic running through Casterbrus. Now, that would have not existed. There'd be no point for it to exist if you had the full episodes. Mm-hmm. So you lose a little in a way. I'm just wondering sometimes whether there's part of us which would love to see these things. But in a sense, having them elusive, mysterious, and have them down in different forms, often in more creative forms or more explorative forms like audios or books. John Peel's Eve of the Daleks is a fantastic book. I mean, it's not that much different from what I understand, but I bet it carries far more atmosphere than the TV budget would have allowed. So maybe in a sense, if we don't get this, it's not a bad thing, totally.
I can see your point there. Yeah. I wouldn't disagree entirely. I mean, I've been watching the 10th Planet lately.
Yeah. The full thing, the one that you've got that you've not told anyone about.
That one, yeah. No, the one with the animated ending.
Yeah.
Simmer down, listener. And what strikes me most about it is that it's not terribly well directed, whereas obviously the book is, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
So that kind of and you know it's and then there's the of course there's the missing William Hartnell in the third episode as well.
Yeah. I mean, the other
which,
example.
Which, you don't see the back of the actor's head. You don't see the back of a stand-in's head in the book.
Well, that's it. I mean, The Chase, I've never actually read the book of The Chase, but I imagine it's a damn sight more enjoyable than actually watching it for the grounds that you don't have the illusion of disbelief shattered constantly by the really bad stand-in for William Hartnell playing the Dalek double, which you can't help to have shattered.
The surprise arrival of Morton Dill on Mechanus.
Yes. I mean, there's just loads of, you know, the Daleks sort of hovering, waiting to come out in the in the stupid 1996 museum. Is it 1996? I can't remember.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. There's just loads. Yeah, the shadows against the back cloth. Yes, the missing cameraman who left his BBC camera in the forest of Mechanus. And yeah.
He went with Morton Dill.
Yeah, it's just brilliant. It's brilliant in that sort of sense, but it does take you away from the crux of the story. And in a sense, you get that from books. I mean, like Ian Marter's The Invasion is a lovely book. It's not much, again, it's not much different, but it just has such a lovely flow. As you say, direction, pacing is fantastic. And while the actual DVD of The Invasion, with its added extra bits, is still an enjoyable watch, it's not a patch on the book. No. So in a sense, sometimes you think, especially if you've got to enjoy envisioning these in a certain way, you know, you sort of sometimes lose something when you actually see what you hoped would be, you know, is seen as an opus of an episode or story, like Evil of the Daleks, might not quite live up to the dream. But then, as we say, the counter argument is you don't have to go and watch it, do you? If you're so keen that you don't want, you know, if it did come back. I'm not saying we should spurn these missing episodes, but I'm just trying to raise a zapping good point for not having them.
Is that Megazap, is it? Do you think that point?
No, Megazap's particularly dirty.
Oh, is it? Oh, my mistake.
Yeah, so Zap doesn't require any protrusions whatsoever.
Right, okay. Well, I'll get the lingo eventually, I'm sure. Now, as I was going to say a few minutes ago, there is a rather kind of... It's almost surreal, the background to this rumour, because the story is that the missing episodes were held by Idi Amin, the notorious African nation dictator. And there have been these long ongoing negotiations for the return of said canisters of film. There's actually a piece on Bleeding Cool today, the sort of a follow-up piece, in which Rich Johnson says that Stephen Moffat, Russell T Davies, Mark Gatiss and Caro Skinner are aware of what's happening, and that along with Dad's Army and Doctor Who, there's Morecambe and Wise in the Sky at Night.
Right.
And that apparently there are multiple versions of some, such as the Marco Polo. If you had said to me last year that... No, forget that, right? If you were to tell anyone that there would be a rumour that a mad African dictator was hoarding Doctor Who, among other things, but we'll focus on the Doctor Who, and that they would suddenly become... This would become like public knowledge, you'd think someone had lost a marble, wouldn't you? You know, it's not... This isn't normal... The normal path of things. You know, usually they turn up in, you know, like we had those episodes last year that turned up, or in fact it was a year before now, they turned up at a fete because they've been in someone's attic. You know, that's fair enough. But for, you know, this guy to be hoarding episodes from British television for years and years and years and years while he was, you know, massacring his own people is... Is it me? Is it just bonkers?
Maybe it's frelling bonkers, because we tend to look at people who are larger than life, and I know that's a very gentle way of putting it when you're talking about dictators, but they are still larger than life characters in the sense that our normal lives aren't applicable to that sort of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So I suppose we tend to 2D people like that into the fact that you just imagine them constantly sitting in a war room or sitting in opulence ordering vast terrible deeds. But in the fact, people are people, and quite often people have different facets to them, and some of them I suppose we don't really imagine, but they're true. And I suppose, you know, things like dictators are one of those sort of people we don't really ever humanize, and that's not in any way to sort of try and justify or talk about him in any particular context, because I know very little of the atrocities, and I must say I'm particularly ill-educated in this situation. But it just shows that, you know, that you can't... It seems surprising, because we don't tend to imagine certain types of people to have certain types of interests or focuses. I agree, it's weird, but at the same time, that's life, isn't it? And it's kind of funny, isn't it, how each time people say, oh, there's no chance for any more missing episodes, and then there might be another chance, because you can't predict every base, can you? You can't.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
I don't know. It's an interesting point, isn't it?
It just leaves me with... It leaves me thinking that it's all nonsense. But, I mean, I'm not going to say that it is nonsense. I mean, the guy was... He was only in charge for like 8 years, apparently, in Uganda, in the 1970s. So that might be why there's some episodes still missing, why he didn't have the full collection, as it were. But then again, it might not have been his collection. This is where it might just be like a collection that was taking that.
Take, you know, yes, exactly.
That took place under his watch.
It could be absolutely nothing personal. It could be just. Yeah.
He might have just wanted the dad's army.
But that's the. Why? It's Felgacarb. That's Battlestar Galactica.
Okay. Yeah, he maybe likes the don't tell him Pike episode. Anyway,
it's a wonderful topic this, Christian. Thank you for expanding our lack of education and understanding of these complex topics as we try and explain and grumble how our Doctor Who's could be coming about from it is awkward, isn't it, when it comes from places like that where there are obviously a lot of moral ethical questions to
let's just defer rather to Wikipedia. Idi Amin's rule from 1971 to 1979 was characterized by human rights abuse, political repression, ethnic persecution, extrajudicial killings, nepotism, corruption, and gross economic mismanagement. Now, while that might sound a lot like Barack Obama's presidency, it isn't.
Good Lord.
Mainly because we don't have huge figures estimated by international observers and human rights groups of between 100,000 and 500,000 people killed as a result of Amin's rule. So, you know, that bit wouldn't happen in the USA, just the rest of it.
You're Captain Satire of the Starship politics today, aren't you?
Possibly. So, missing episodes. Oh, I mean, we've covered this before, but, you know, it's just the two of us today. Do you have any preferences? I know, or do you just want the books?
In a sense, from what I said, it could be nice to have ones which you have low expectations of, like, I don't know.
Like the ones we've got from Galaxy 4.
Yes, as we've said before. Yeah. Yes, I mean that might be kind of better than I'd be kind of interested to see Mission to the Unknown on the grounds that it's a very dark piece.
Mm.
It's quite a gruesome, horrific piece for Doctor Who, and I'd be interested to see that in a 1960s context. So I'd be less interested to see it from a story point of view because I know the story and it's only one episode. But I'd like to see it purely to see how it's handled on screen. That would be quite interesting. I think the two that I think we'd probably want the most. Well, no, I think there's three. We'd probably four. There's four. I think Power of the Daleks and the Tenth Planet in its entirety just so you've got so we'd have the dove. We'd have the crossovers for every Doctor.
Yeah.
Then I think that would be very nice historically. Personally speaking, Marco Polo, I think, is one that I would be very keen to see put together again, and I have a horrible feeling.
If this rumour turns out to be true, you'll have three opportunities to watch it.
Why?
Because it exists three times, apparently.
Oh, right. Oh,
there's three different prints of it.
In this batch?
In this batch, supposedly, yeah.
God, it's that old gag, isn't it, about waiting for a bus and then three come along. Waited 50 years for this bloody bus, and then it comes.
Well, think how the Chinese felt in the 15th century.
You trying to show my terrible Shazbot knowledge again, my lack of education, my lack of historical understanding.
No, I was estimating it might have been the 13th.
Well, that doesn't make it any better because I still don't know what you're talking about.
Well, he was a European who went to.
Marco Polo himself. Right. Oh, God, I see what you mean now. I see the link.
Yeah.
Do you want to go on Wikipedia that so you can actually edit it out?
I already have. It's 1254 to 1324, so it's the 13th and 14th centuries.
Oh, you messed up quite badly then. You went too far ahead and too far behind.
Yeah.
Bit of a police box landing on both counts. Eh?
Indeed. I'm just looking at his portrait, actually. He doesn't look like an explorer at all.
But he doesn't look like a BBC actor either.
No, he just looks like a I don't know what he looks like. It looks like someone's bishop. Anyhow, right, so...
So, just quickly, what about you?
I have 10th Planet in its entirety and Marco Polo. I would be particularly interested in and the Daleks Master Plan.
So, no big aspirations there?
No. Well, as we know, or as we're led to believe by these rumours, Daleks Master Plan isn't in this batch, so... And this brings me to back to Bleeding Cool, actually, because as I said, they've come back to the topic yesterday. Richard Johnston sort of summarised, you know, what happened and why he made the reports, etc. And he quotes people on Twitter, such as Andrew Cartmell, who says, "Sorry, I don't have any special knowledge about this. I hope they find them all, though." And lots of quotes from Ian Levine. And then he, rather tritely, I think, begins his conclusion. "And even if it is all just a hoax, remember those episodes were transmitted 50 years ago. However faint, distorted and diluted, those signals have travelled 50 light years from Earth now, passing all manner of solar systems. One of them may host sentient life with interstellar flight technology, and may have the skills to capture and enhance those signals. And a spacecraft might be currently heading towards us, ready to drop them off." Are you taking the
danger,
Johnston? Sorry, I've just sworn there.
Haven't you? You have. I've been so careful this whole episode, and you've gone and stroking.
I'll bleep it out.
Good.
I'll do the little canine danger. what is that?
I just find the whole. It was said lightly, but it's just so fannish, isn't it? That you take something so amazingly epic and fantastic as the thought of our transmissions reaching another planet and them being aware of us, and all we can think about, well, I hope they've got our Doctor Who episodes when they come. You know, "Greetings, we come from a Zorbaloff Minor," and they go, "Oh, that's very interesting. Just wanted to check. Don't suppose you passed the Daleks Master Plan episodes 5 to 7 as you came here. We thought we had it from a dictator, but we haven't, and we just kind of wondered whether you had." No.
Oh my God, you've got a death ray and you're going to kill us all now. Hang on, can we watch the 4th episode of the 10th Planet first?
Oh, and it is called a death ray. We wondered what you'd be calling it. It is a death ray. Lucas, Death Star, you're wrong. You're almost there. Half right. I don't know. But yeah, it's a funny thing. But again, I mean, things like the Master Plan might suffer the worst, because, I mean, from listening to the audio and reading the books, there's a couple of quite dodgy episodes in the middle there.
Yeah.
And you kind of wonder, would that just to take away its epicness? I mean, in a way, we've said this before, but for new listeners, I always kind of think it'd be kind of good to find episodes that we have and make them missing, so people actually like them more, like Trial of the Time Lord. Fear Her, yeah. Ones that have, of course, it doesn't have to go without saying Time and the Rani.
Yeah, can we just leave that?
Yeah, we just leave it and just forget about that. Yeah. No missing episodes. Just walk over. I think I prefer Dimensions and Time to that.
Blimey.
Right, hey, Dimensions and Time isn't actually as bad as people make out. And what's equally fascinating about it is that it's actually contemporary. Because during the episode, they have a contemporary part when they're in 2013 and Wendy Richards is still in the square.
Well, she's not. She's dead.
No, I've seen Dimensions in Time. 2013.
In real life, she's no longer with us.
Yeah, but in 2013, in Dimensions in Time, I saw her.
Yeah,
she
was
there.
Okay.
And there was a train that looked a bit like one of our trains shooting past. It's actually quite accurate, really. 2013 on a BBC budget of, what was it, 1991 or whatever it was.
Three.
It was actually 1993. It was actually pretty damn close.
Okay.
Go and rewatch it. I dare you all. If you've still got it somewhere, Dimensions in Time, rewatch the 2013 parts, and you'll find it's actually not bad.
Who's in the 2013 part alongside Wendy Richard? I mean,
well, pretty much all the cast that was in 1991. Coincidentally,
with makeup on.
Carried on. I don't even really. Yeah. Well, strangely enough, Wendy Richards had makeup. I don't think the rest did.
Right.
I think I can't remember actually who was in the 2013 bits. I remember the bits. Romana appears to the Mitchells, doesn't she, in the EastEnders garage.
I'm beginning to have sort of palpitations with this continued.
It's canon. Jonathan Turner had it as canon. You've got to deal with it. You can't pick and choose, dear listener. I know a lot of you think, I don't like it, so therefore it's not canon. He gave it. Didn't he give it a production number? He wanted it to be canon.
I think that tells us more about Russell, about Jonathan Turner, than it tells us about production numbers and canon. And that kind of thing. Let's bring the missing episodes bit to an end now. I think we'll be revisiting it.
Okay, will we?
But let's do you have any recommendations this week, James?
Do I have any recommendations? I think I do, and I'm trying to think what they are. Do you have any recommendations while I'm trying to think what I do?
Yes, I do. I've been lucky enough to be previewing the Regeneration box set.
Oh, right. Lucky you.
So I've revisited Planet of the Spiders, which I haven't seen since the UK Gold days.
Which is silly, because it's actually available on the BBC YouTube channel.
Is it really?
Yep, so you can watch it any time.
I try not to spend too much time on YouTube and places like that, to be honest with you. I've got far too much to do.
It is a legitimate channel, just to clarify.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. We're not suggesting you should be viewing pirate copies of Doctor Who, dear listener.
Absolutely not.
Unless they're missing episodes, which you should be returning. So, Planet of the Spiders. I always felt a bit... some of the acting in there is pretty bad.
Yeah.
When I watched it last time, but I didn't really get that on this occasion. I don't know why. I always had a problem with Kevin Lindsay.
Really? Yeah.
Shojay. And but again, I didn't really get that with this watch. It was more to do with the spiders, the Lumpton? The guy who goes with the spider at the beginning, and the spiders themselves.
They're always called Lumpton or Limpton or something like that in the old series.
And Gareth Hunt was awful as well.
He was a bit of a Hunt, was he, in that episode? I can't remember him, to be honest.
He's one of the natives on the Metabolist.
What I liked when I last watched it was that you do get a feeling of strangely almost like a new series feeling, because there is a sort of slight gentle character arc going through Pertwee, where he's sort of in the very last one a bit like you'd have with some like David Tennant, where he's sort of realizing that his the way he lives his life has led him to having to actually face the repercussions of his actions, which is quite dark for Doctor Who, and I kind of liked that. I mean, the episode is too long. There's too much of John Pertwee's enforced James Bondism.
I like that episode, to be honest with you.
What, the chasing them around in various vehicles?
Episode. Yeah.
Oh, God's sake.
And you know, he's been at it for 5 years. Give the guy a bit of fun.
Well, he shouldn't have had it in the first place. Guy went into Doctor Who. He wanted to be James Bond. He couldn't. So he went into Doctor Who and tried to mutate it. And it's like, no, you're not. But
he was James Bond, though, wasn't he? He discovered a few weeks ago. So...
But he did love it. So fine. Yes, it's not a bad send off. The spiders are pretty good. They are quite creepy.
Spiders are okay. Yeah, they're okay. And it still upsets me. Well, I have to say upset me. Just felt like there was no need to do that, was there? Was bringing Shojay in at the end, teleporting himself in to help the Doctor's regeneration along. I didn't really think there was any need for that. I think it's a bit,
no.
I wasted a bit of special effects, and there was no need to see that guy again, I didn't think.
No, I didn't. I probably quite agree with you there. So that's a good one. I rewatched the Image of the Fendal.
Oh, right. I haven't seen that for years.
Yeah, and I sort of lost interest near the end, as I tend to in that episode. It's a nice idea, and there's some nice, slightly creepy bits in it, and the dialogue between... Leela and the Doctor is probably one of the strongest ones for the pairing in that there's a lot of, you feel there's a lot of there's a connectivity there that started to gel, perhaps a little too late, but there's a natural connection there which works. It didn't really but it does sort of meander a bit, and the Fendal and the Fenderly never really get the send-off at the end as they deserve. They become a bit, I don't know. It floats. I also downloaded, legitimately, Big Finish had a couple of free downloads, didn't they, this last few weeks, which was Cuddlesome and Urgent Calls. Can you remember what the actual sound site it was, stream site it was from? I can't remember. I feel we should say, or at least put in the link, so it's because that was the reason that they're there. They've obviously done a deal.
I can't remember what it's called.
I can't remember what they're called.
It will be in the show notes, though.
Thank you. Cuddlesome and Urgent Call, which, if they're still available, are very worth a download. And if you've not tasted Big Finish before, they're a very good example of the quality that you'd expect. Urgent Calls, I think they were both released, one as a freebie before and one as a bonus on one of the CDs. But Urgent Calls, the Colin Baker one, is an example for those who still believe Colin Baker was rubbish and have not journeyed into the Big Finish range. He's a good example of really what quality he is. And would be very much recommended as a first listen if they are still available. If they're not, you should keep to tabs.
You should what?
Keep up. Keep tabs on stuff. Amalgamated those into one weird word.
The podcast with a K. Oh. Destroying the English language.
Oh, in iPlayer, that's annoyed me today. I did a tweet about that. They had serious catch ups. But the last episode, they only let run for as long as it would normally, a week. So if you find out late, which if you're doing a serious catch-up, you probably do, because you'll have missed the initial promotions.
Yeah.
You'll catch up. And I watched in the last day, I watched for about five and a half hours to catch up. Didn't realise today was the last day, and I've missed the last 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's gone again. And they did the same thing to me with Ripper Street. You sort of get used to them having the first four episodes on for weeks and weeks. Then you get to the last episode and they just do it for the week and then it's all gone.
Dear listener, do you too think that James should have realised and learned his lesson from Ripper Street?
Yes, I probably should. I probably should. Or as I have done now, I've signed up and I'll have to put favourites and watch for expiries. You know, I suppose we just expect everyone to do our jobs for us. But oh.
Yeah, perhaps. Is this on BBC iPlayer, is it, that you're talking?
Yes, right, it's BBC iPlayer is the catch-ups, which is a good service, to be honest. It's just frustrating that the last episode seems to only go for the duration of the episode, because I think they assume you've caught up by then.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't end up, for some reason, I only find these things just before they end, and I'm desperately rushing through them. Father Brown was another one, which had Mark Williams, which was quite good, which I'd have thought would be another person who could possibly do a Doctor.
Okay, well, I tell you what, just while we're on that topic, of people who could do a Doctor.
Yeah.
You know, we're between Doctors at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got any new suggestions in mind? Anyone come to your attention that you would like to see as a Doctor?
I did like the Moss from the IT Crowd. I did love that little piece he did as about wanting to be the Doctor as in character. I think he'd be quite interesting.
Mm.
Do you have anyone in particular that?
Well, I'm still, you know, Ben Miller hasn't said anything yet, has he?
No, he hasn't. I would still. I'd still love it to be Ben Miller.
Yeah. I'd like IAD as well. I do like him, but and I still like Stephen Mangan.
I mean, there's some choices as I've been saying to people. I don't think will. I think as hard as it is to say, I think it will be a white male. I know there's been some different racials and genders suggested. But I still don't believe the BBC would go there. If nothing else, because I think they would be scared of risking a loss of international interest and the like.
Yeah.
So I still think it's going to be my guess is a sort of 30-something white male is going to be the choice, and possibly someone we don't know.
Okay. Oh, I had a nightmare that it was Will Mellor as well.
You had a nightmare?
Yeah.
You had a nightmare. Is that really legitimately a nightmare? Can you legitimately have a nightmare about a choice of actor for a Doctor?
All right, well, maybe it was a slightly disconcerting dream that Will Mellor's head popped out of the TARDIS. That's basically what happened.
I think maybe you need to get out more, sir.
Yeah, I think I do. Well, yesterday.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm just going to sidetrack here. I have really bad hay fever, and yesterday was a particularly bad day, and I was knocked out by mid-afternoon. So I set my alarm so I could wake up and do some more work about 3:30. Overslept the alarm considerably by an hour. What woke me up was some sort of alarm outside combined with a lady's voice on Classic FM. It was the 4-minute warning.
Oh, good Lord.
That's how it translated in my head. A car alarm and Classic FM translated as the 4-minute warning. I tell you what, that is one way to wake up.
I have dreams of that. I've had several dreams of that situation. And
really?
It's a horrible one. It's a reoccurring one for me. I've had it since I was very young, and it's really vivid. It's a horrible doom feeling. My brain is such a jerk when it comes to trying to make me upset. And that gets me so angry how it does that. But anyway,
this is a doom-laden podcast.
It is a bit, isn't it?
Idi Amin, alien invasion in the 4-minute warning.
I just kind of wanted to say, alien invasion, if you do actually get this on your way here,
Don't bring it back.
Well, yeah, one, don't bring it back. We really don't want to hear it again. But if you could stop and just head back and make sure you've got the Daleks master plan before you come, it would be appreciated. You might also find you'll generate a slightly more amused response to your attack if you name your death ray the Death Star. People will enjoy tweeting that before they die.
We'll be back next week alongside Brian and hopefully the Lost Podcast. Until then, goodbye.
So your high hopes that you'll find the Lost Podcast by next week.